Blog Talk Radio.
Hello?
There was a need in talk radio, and one man will fill that need.
What kind of effectiveness is marching at on Saturday today?
And you too can be a witness. The Ron Kelly Show on YourTalkRadio.com.
And yes, it is finally. Oh, I'm beginning to hate this Blog Talk nonsense. It's yours truly, Ron Kelly, the Ron Kelly Show. Oh, driving me crazy. It's time to move again. What's up, everybody? How's it going? Shout out to my people down in Florida, WWPL 1490 AM. How y'all doing? Oh, my goodness. This Blog Talk stuff is driving me up the wall. Oh, I can't take it. Oh, you know what? I'm going to try to relax and say hello to everybody. How are you guys doing? What's going on? How you been? What's happening? Lots going on out here in the world. And I'm thankful that you guys were able to come. Yeah, no fret. Don't fret. I'm coming. We're about 5 minutes or so late. This Blog Talk Radio is driving me up a wall. But, you know, we're going to hang in there. And I'm going to hang in there because I'm hanging there for my people, the thousands who have logged on to the Ron Kelly Show Facebook page. There's 3,800 of you. So far, actually. Thank you so much for doing that. It's Facebook, it's the Ron Kelly Show, Twitter, the Ron Kelly Show. And we just landed here just a couple weeks ago at our new station and ready to take off again. It's blogtalkradio.com. Oh, let me calm down. All right, how's everybody doing? Hey, what's going on, Janice? I got a new station, new co-host, Janice Cocktail. Hey, Janice, how are you?
Fine. How are you this evening?
I'm going absolutely stark raving mad with this station here. But I'm going to hold on, Janice. I'm going to hold on because, you know, a lot of people are dependent on us. They want to hear us. And so I'm going to hold on, everybody. This is Janice Cocktail is my new co-host. She's been with us a couple weeks, and, you know, she's doing a fabulous job. And we welcome Janice to the show, to the Ron Kelly Show Madness. Janice, we appreciate you. We thank you for indulging us here on the Ron Kelly Show. We have a lot to talk about this afternoon, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. And another special shout-out to my people down in Florida. It's WWPR 1490 AM. That's WWPR 1490 AM in Tampa and Bradenton, Florida. All the folks down there who are enjoying a really nice weather while we're up here getting rained on. And some days it's warm, some days it's cold. Some days, I mean, it's just that sick weather, Janice. It's that sick weather where you just can't keep it together. But
we're gonna
keep it moving. Yeah, it's www. Everybody, it's theronkellyshow.com. It's the official website of the Ron Kelly Show. Log on to it. You'll find out everything you need to know about me. I have to include Janice's information on there, but right now it's all about yours truly, and also the Ron Kelly Show Book Club. If you submit your book to, your book can be, if our editors approve, and this is only for people who are first-time book writers. If your book is approved by the editors, you'll be able to come onto the Ron Kelly Show and have an interview, and your information and your book cover and all of that, and where your book can be acquired will be put onto the Ron Kelly Show website, so you can do that as well. So thank you, everybody, so much once again. And Janice, we have a special guest this afternoon straight from the city of Paterson, New Jersey. We have my good friend, former Second Ward Councilman Aslan Gow, Sr. is on the line with us. Hello, Councilman.
Hi.
How are you? Welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Councilman.
Good afternoon. Hi, Ron. How you guys doing?
Doing well.
Having a little technical difficulties, but I'm going to make it anyway. Thank you so much, Councilman, for taking time out of your busy, what I'm sure is probably a busy schedule, to join us this afternoon. And I need to let everybody know that Patterson 2014, Councilman Gao is the first of the hopefully more, just want to hear what everybody has to say, more mayoral aspirants in the great city of Patterson, New Jersey. The election is in May of next year, and Councilman Gao is the first of what seems to be many folks who are running or saying they're running or pretending to run, or however you want to put it, for mayor of the great city of Patterson. Now, Councilman, this Patterson has a multiplicity of problems, but I think the biggest one that's on everybody's mind right now for folks that have to walk the streets of the city of Patterson is the crime problem, Councilman. Now, let's start day one of the Gao administration. How would you address the crime problem?
What a question, Ron. Let me say this, and you just said it. It is one of the biggest problems that the residents of Patterson are facing right now. People are afraid. The crime in Patterson has gotten to the point where we've never seen it before. Now, one thing I could say, Ron, and you know me because you were a resident of the Second Ward, and I believe you still live in the city of Patterson, or you're heavily connected to the community.
Absolutely.
During the 12 years that I was a councilman in the Second Ward, I addressed these issues. Everything that we're talking about today, we were all saying the same thing 12 years ago, but with one different aspect, that taxes were the biggest issue 12 years ago. Now today it's crime. During my tenure as councilman, one of my success points was my visibility and my presence in the community, working hand in hand with the local police department and the sheriff department. That's what helped us to deter the crime, to get the gangs off the corners. We met with the youth that were on our streets. We didn't just go in there guns blazing. We worked with them. We asked them. We pleaded with them. We made them understand the value and what it meant that, you know, people want to go to those stores. They want to walk in the neighborhoods. They don't want to be intimidated. They don't want to worry about what might happen to them. But now we've come to the point where the crime has escalated tremendously. The violence is at its all-time severe point. Shootings on a regular basis. People being shot and killed. We didn't have this problem before. Now it's gotten to the point where even as we speak, this trend about this new game that the youth are talking about, which is called knockout, where they randomly run up to somebody and slug them unconscious. Now, they're either going to hurt somebody severely or kill somebody. And the sad thing is, as we speak and as this conversation takes place, this has now become almost a national issue. And as recently as yesterday, and this was one of my biggest fears, and it's the fear of everybody, aside from the fact of being assaulted yourself in a vicious attack, one of these kids were going to get hurt. And sure enough, two youth were shot and killed yesterday. They went up to the wrong person. The person was armed with a gun. They were shot and killed. This is now our biggest fear, and this is what we were worrying about.
Wow, and you know what, Councilman, that didn't take place in New Jersey, did it?
I don't think so, but I believe this one might have been Washington, but so far it's impacted Washington, Georgia, New York, New Jersey, and that's as states. We're not talking about cities. Many, many cities now have been impacted. Now it's running rampant. It's almost like wildfire in such a short period of time, and as recently as yesterday, we've had our third victim that we know of on Totowa Avenue.
Well, you know what, too, Councilman, that one of the things about these type of crimes, and not just that, but petty crime, period, Councilman, is that most people don't report it because they don't think that their issue is going to get addressed. They don't think that something's going to happen. You know, in addition to the rampant crime problem in the city of Patterson, the police response is horrific. If at all. So I know you've thought about some of these things. So just tell us a little bit about, you know, not your entire platform, but I'm sorry. Tell us a little bit about some of the ideas that you have in regards to crime in the city of Patterson and how to get it, you know, at least manageable to some degree.
Sure, Ron. Well, as I stated, listen, the single most important factor now is the lack of leadership in Patterson. There's no lack of leadership. If the chief executive of the city is not held accountable, then the chief of police will not be held accountable. I, as God willing, the next mayor of the city of Patterson, as the chief executive, will be a visible force in the city of Patterson. That's one of my assets, that my ability to be visible, to be out there physically, is what's going to make the difference this time, because I'm going to create the accountability that's lacking right now. I have the resources right now to work closely with the department, lead that department, deploy those police officers where they need to be visible. And the single most important thing for Patterson is, and we know the biggest problem is with the taxes and the fact that we have state aid, that we depend on state aid. Our resources are limited, but there is a way to put more police officers on the street, to have a strong police presence, a visible presence. That is the only thing that's going to deter crime. That has to be the first step in what we need to do.
Let me ask you this, Councilman, everyone, former second ward councilman, Aslan Gow, senior, great city of Patterson, New Jersey. Let me ask you this, Councilman Gow. Now, you are a police officer yourself. So do you think, you talked about there being a lack of leadership. So do you think that you have an advantage over the other candidates because you are a police officer? And do you think that because you are a police officer that your presence in City Hall would boost the morale of the police department?
No, Ron. I think the most important thing is the individual. The individual. The police department needs support. The police department needs to know that its officials are going to stand behind them. What's happened is we have tied their hands. We've put them in a reactive mode versus a proactive mode. Police officers right now, because of the high volume of calls that come in, go from job to job. But that's not necessarily true 7 days a week. There has to be a time where a police officer has to know that he's not getting a call, that it's been a little slow. Let me be proactive. Well, they don't want them to be proactive, and this has become a big problem. If the next mayor is a visible presence out in the street with the police department, working hand in hand with them, knowing that the public will appreciate their presence, they will work with the community closer. We will give them the support they need, and I can guarantee you that those calls for service will diminish. And from there, we can be more proactive, and we can get better acquainted with our communities.
So you don't think that many folks have talked about forcing the police to live in Patterson? There are some who think that that's the cure, that to have the police officers actually living in the city of Patterson and being here and around, and because you're a police officer 24 hours a day, whether you're on duty or not. And some folks tend to think that having the police officers actually live here and, live here and shop here and be present, some people think that's part of the answer. What do you think, Councilman?
I think that's a very strong, valid point, Ron. I'm very supportive of police officers living locally. But let's take this for a minute. This is what happens. They have passed the law. The politicians work hand in hand with the unions, collective bargaining units, specifically police, fire, and teachers. Now, when they made that move to allow police officers and firemen and teachers to move out of town, that was a political deal that was brokered. Today, that does not benefit the communities. If all the police officers lived in the city of Patterson, they take greater pride they'd be actively involved in a way that they have never been. Before, you used to have the PBA baseball team, the PBA football team, the firemen's football team, the firemen's baseball team. They were actively involved with their kids, whereas today we have a different kind of environment. Fatherless children, police officers don't live in the town. They don't care about those kids that are fatherless. Had they lived here, they could have been better role models for them. They could have been more actively involved with them. But here's the situation. State law allows police officers just to live in the town for 1 year prior to the day they get hired. Then shortly after that, they move out. But, Ron, the bigger issue is, for example, in Patterson, the police chief doesn't even live in his town. Now, why should anybody care if the chief of police doesn't live here? At least if your chief of police lived in your town, if your fire chief lived here, if your directors, all your department heads lived here, you would all work collectively and collaboratively to move the city forward and to serve what's in its best interest. The state legislators, right now, we know who they are. We elect them. Why aren't they pushing for this? You know why? Because most of these people are afraid of the strength of the unions. But that has to change. The mindset has to change, and they have to see the value in police officers and teachers and firemen living in their own communities. And that's where we should go right now.
All right, Councilman. All right, we'll take a break. And when we come back, Councilman, we'll talk about when we come back, we will talk about ratables, and we'll talk about bringing new construction and new investment into the city of Patterson, which is a uniquely positioned city with every major highway in New Jersey that passes through here, and we can't seem to get anything going. So I'll ask you about that when we come back from our break. So everybody, we'll be right back with more. It's the Ron Kelly Show with our special guest, Councilman Gal, and my co-host, Janice Scott-Taylor, and we are on blogtalkradio.com.
One man will fill that need.
What kind of effectiveness is marching out of society today?
And you too can be a witness. The Ron Kelly Show on blogtalkradio.com. The Ron Kelly Show on blogtalkradio.com. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Hi, I'm Lisa Edelstein. Every day on set, I help my fictional doctors save the lives of imaginary patients in the TV series House. Every day in his village in Ethiopia, Barasa Ware helps save the lives of real children as a local health worker. Like many children in the developing world, the ones in Barasa's village are threatened by common illnesses that kill millions worldwide. But unlike villages without a local health worker, the children of Barasa's village get the care they need to survive. Imagine how many more children could be saved with your help. When you help local health workers like Barasa, you help children survive all over the world. See where the good goes at goodgoes.org and find out all the ways you can help the good go further. Brought to you by Save the Children and the Ad Council.
Now, back with more of the fastest growing internet radio show on the World Wide Web.
And it's on. It's go time.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Absolutely, everybody. Welcome back. It's the Ron Kelly Show right here on blogtalkradio.com. Shout out to my peoples down in Florida, WWPR 1490 AM, Wednesdays. At lunchtime, you can have your lunch with us, with Janice and I. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on WWPR 1490 AM in Tampa Bay, Florida. We're chatting with former Councilman Avon Gow, Sr. from the great city of Patterson, New Jersey, who is a mayoral aspirant for the election coming up in May of 2014. Now, Councilman Gow, I talked a little bit about ratables, but there has been quite a bit of activity going on in the city of Patterson. Some things are being built, but do you think it's Do you think we need something on a much more grander scale, Councilman, than what's being done at this time?
Sure, Ron. You know, a few years ago when the economy, you know, was booming, every municipality everywhere had some kind of development. Since that, we haven't really seen anything. Now, Patterson is only 8.2 square miles, and there's no more land here to develop. There might be some couple of vacant buildings here and there that might be proposed for some housing development or something, but there is something bigger and greater for us. I have a vision. We might not be able to create more land, but you know what? Sky's the limit. We could start building upward. We could make Patterson a metropolis. Now, the only problem that we have, and it's been consistent, is the amount of corruption and the amount of crime that we have in our city. Until those issues are addressed, I don't care who you know. They're not coming to Patterson to invest one single penny. But I can assure you that we can clean this town up. We still have a chance, Ron. We, the people of this city, and my administration, we can move this city forward in such a way that people talked about the glory days of Patterson. Let me tell you something. We can have something more than that. The potential is here. The resources are here. But until you have a visible presence with your police and your mayor, nobody's going to invest in this town.
Well, Councilman, you're right that there may not be enough space. I mean, we can't create space, but there are some tracts of land in the city of Patterson, notwithstanding the ones near the flood zones. I mean, I'm sure nobody wants to do anything there, like Straight Street down by Lawrence Street. You know, that area is probably, until something happens with the Passaic River, that area is probably a dead zone. But there are some areas, there are some tracts of land in Patterson that can be developed. We have the Hinchcliffe Stadium that's sitting there that should have probably been part of the National Park development up there. That should have been part of that, and it wasn't. It was just left to just sit there. Now, how involved were you when you were councilman? How involved were you with the National Park designation for the Great Falls in the city of Patterson?
Well, that's a question I'd love for you to hear and for your viewers to hear, because it was when I first took over as councilman of the second ward back in 2000, that was one of my visions. Shortly thereafter, I got on the council. Everybody started talking about the National Great Falls, and there were some senior officials before me that saw the value in what I was talking about and immediately jumped on it and ran with it. And I said, you know what? At least I had the idea and the vision. It really didn't matter to me who took control of it. And Tom Rooney was a perfect example of that. And shortly thereafter, he developed this poster model of the Great Falls and the potentials. I will tell you this, Ron. The Great Falls can be the engine, okay, the economic engine to move this city forward, because only those two tracts of land that you just talked about, with the Great Falls being a national park, which is now designated, but they're talking about sometime in about 30 years or so is what it would take to really develop that and to get the benefit of it. I don't know if we might even see that day. But the Hinchcliffe Stadium now, it's run by the Board of Education. Now, the city had it. They had it. They've been passing the buck back and forth. I can tell you this, Ron, as part of my economic vision for the city, there are developers that want to develop that stadium. They want to make investments here. So, you know, there's not, you know, much land here. And I say, you know, going, you know, sky's the limit, building upwards. It's time we turn the city into a metropolis. We're 13 miles from the bridge. We're 13 miles from the tunnel. We're less than 10 miles from all the surrounding cities, all the communities. But it's all going to depend on making this city clean and safe.
Well, you know, and thank you, Councilman. One of the other complaints that I've heard personally from people that I know, people of means, talk about the infighting that goes on and the the seemingly inability, or the inability, or so it seems, the inability to make decisive moves with the council. There's always some infighting or something going on, which does discourage developers as well, because they don't want to get involved in any pissing contest, for lack of a better word, councilman. So how do you address that as mayor of the city of Patterson?
Ron, it comes down to the lack of leadership. When Mayor Jones was sworn in on July 1st, I was sworn in as the council president. I had pledged to him that day that I was willing to work with him and that we move this city forward. Jeff Jones has a clearly different agenda. Shortly thereafter, council presidents are changed every year unless you do something exceptional and you want to keep the council president that you have. I like everybody to have an equal and fair opportunity to serve in that position. It seems that, and it's clear, look, the chief executive of the city is responsible for the safety of the people, the economic development, and everything else that comes along with that title. The city council has the legislative power. The mayor, I don't think any mayor right now needs any more legislation. This mayor has to be a hands-on, visible presence. He will need the council in certain areas. The council needs a good mayor. The mayor's not the one that needs a council. Now, if the council members can't find their own way to get along, it's not going to be a responsibility of the mayor. But as mayor, I've been there for 12 years as a councilman. I have a good understanding of what city government is. I know what it takes. Every council member, unless he develops a good working relationship with his mayor, he will not be able to get anything done. And then what happens is you wind up having these cliques and of council members that think that they will control the mayor by, you know, unifying. That's not what we need. I will work with them extremely closely to move the city forward and do what's in the best interest of the citizens of Patterson.
Let me ask you this, Councilman. Let me ask you this, because I personally have been thinking about this, and I did speak to some other folks who knew that I was going to be interviewing you, and for whatever reason, some of them declined to call into the show, but they asked me to ask you, certain questions that were important to them. Now, Councilman, how you relate to the council is important, but as mayor, you will need to have somewhat of a relationship with the state as well. So and folks outside of the city of Patterson, because you have to have a relationship with
absolutely
with state senators and people like that. So how are you with these people right now at the moment? How is your relationship with folks outside, politicians outside the city of Patterson?
Ron, I think I have a perfect working relationship with a lot of the politicians. There can be some differences with some of the politicians, without a doubt. But you want to know something? The role of mayor will be different as the role of councilman. As a councilman, I acted as the mayor of the second ward. That's why I was so successful, doing the things and the jobs that the mayor was responsible for. Now, I want to take that to a whole new level. I want to take that on a citywide level, because everything that I have said to you, I have done in the second ward. We have made it cleaner. We have made it safer. We have the police presence. But now we're talking about something bigger. We're talking about the entire city. My relationship is going to be a very important relationship with the governor of the state of New Jersey. If we don't have his support, we're not moving the city anywhere. Now, I feel confident I have that ability. There's no reason in the world why the governor will not work with anybody in the future, whoever it may be. But it's going to be very, very crucial that the next mayor have a working relationship with the governor, the Congress, and anybody else. Now, there's a difference of opinion by other people, and that's up to them. They can choose to feel the way they want to feel, but my abilities all come down to creating accountability, no matter who you are, whether you're the governor, whether you're the congressman, whether you're on the senatorial or assembly position. If they all want to work hand-in-hand with us and move the city forward, this will be our opportunity to do that.
Okay, Councilman, in the last 5 or 6 minutes or so, just give us like a synopsis of a briefing of what you plan to do, you know, hitting the ground running if you become mayor in 2014. What are your plans? Give us a brief synopsis of what you plan to do to get the city back on track within the next 5 minutes or so.
Wonderful. Thank you, Ron. I really appreciate you giving me this time. Let's start with this. Within my first 100 days of my administration, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. My plan is to be in the streets, being visible, working with the police department and the Department of Public Works, and the community, working hand in hand to address the crime and the filth of this city. Okay, that's number one. Until we accomplish these two goals, and that's going to be within the first 100 days, in addition to that, to put more police presence on the street, I have the plan. It's part of a plan that the administration is talking about right now to put special police officers in the city. I have been saying this for 12 years. That's what makes things different. Everything that I'm stating to you now, Ron, is exactly what I said we needed to do 12 years ago. 12 years later, we're in the same boat that we were. Now, I was not the mayor for the last 12 years, and all of these responsibilities ultimately fall on the mayor, who is the chief executive of the city. Once we start showing that we can make this town clean and safe, okay, all those cages that are on those stores downtown, we look like we're in a prison. I would love to see all the businesses have the confidence and believe in me that their stores will be protected. Remove those cages from those stores, okay? I want the community to feel safe. I want the community to know that when they're driving through downtown Patterson and they see those open window fronts, that something has changed. I want more lighting in the city of Patterson, okay? I want to see people walking freely, comfortable in the city of Patterson. I want this town to be clean and safe, and that is the single most important thing that anybody can do. I want to at least, if not, you know, control the taxes from going up, stabilize the taxes. It's at our throats at this point. The taxpayers cannot afford any more increases. Recently, the mayor is in the newspaper talking about how he needs $5 million or he can't close this budget gap. Well, there's a reason for that, because he didn't plan properly. He didn't address the budget issue in the first 100 days of his administration. He spent money that we don't have. There were a lot of promotions that were made by the previous administration that has cost the taxpayer $78 million of debt that nobody was aware of, which wind up leading to laying off 125 police officers. Can you imagine that? So we're way below the table of organization for police. We are in desperate need of police, and there are resources to put more police on the streets without hurting the taxpayer. From there, we can talk about economic development. That's when people will start investing. I have met with many, many folks who have been saying for years they were not comfortable with this administration or the prior administration to make a significant investment here. Now, we know one man that spent a lot of money here, which was Center City, and they developed those properties. But has it moved the city forward? Absolutely not. Have we gotten any benefit from it? Absolutely not. Those people are struggling right now. We need to start re-educating the community. We need to start showing the community the value in education. But until we make it clean and safe, Ron, nobody's going to invest and nothing is going to change in this city. I can't get into all the details because for the last 12 years, the things I have been talking about is what every candidate wants to talk about now. But the difference is I already demonstrated everything that I'm saying can be done while I was a councilman for 12 years.
All right. Thank you for that, Councilman. Everyone who's listening, it's former Second Ward councilman and mayoral aspirant for 2014, Avon Gal Sr. Thank you so much for your time, councilman, and we'll see you on the campaign trail.
Thank you so much, Ron. You have a wonderful day.
You too. Thank you, councilman. All right, everybody. Second Ward Councilman Avon Gal Sr. Janice and I will be back in just a moment. And Janice and I'll be back in just a moment. We'll talk about a couple of things in the next 20 minutes or so that's left to the show. Okay, everybody, we'll be right back with more. It's the Ron Kelly Show with Janice Scott Taylor, and it's on BlogTalkRadio.com.
The Ron Kelly Show on BlogTalkRadio.com. And on the web, TheRonKellyShow.com.
So coming to the stage is a really funny guy. Y'all know him. Put your hands together. Give it up for George Wilborn.
Well, why won't we go to the doctor? My uncle called. Speech all slurred, complaining his arm's numb. He called everybody under the sun. Aunt Peyton, his old army buddy George. He even called my daughter Tierra because, you know, she's got a year of nursing. Everyone thinks he needs to go to the doctor, including me. So he said, well, will you take me? I'm like, I'm on the road. He goes, I'll wait. Stroke's no joke. If you or someone you love have symptoms of stroke, don't call family. Don't dial a friend. Don't wait. It may be too late. Dial 911. Time loss is brain loss. Seriously, dial 911.
Learn all the symptoms of a stroke at strokesnojoke.org. That's strokesnojoke.org. A public service announcement.
Now, back with more of the fastest growing internet radio show on the World Wide Web.
And it's on. It's go time.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Absolutely, everybody. It's the Ron Kelly Show. Shout out to my people down in Florida, Janice, where I would love to be right now. It's WWPO 1490 AM. I'm living there at some point, but I don't want to go down there as a retiree. I want to go now while I'm still young. But thank you, Councilman Cal, for stopping by and talking to us about your aspirations and things you're trying to do as, you know, eventually as the mayor of the great city of Patterson, New Jersey. You had to keep it local there for a second. But Janice Scott Taylor is here with us. Janice, I know you heard about this clown. you just have to say clown because, and this is what everybody's been talking about, that, you know, the possibility that Zimmerman may catch a case and may get a backlash verdict, just as O.J. Simpson did when he got away with murder. So they say he got away with murder. And they say that Zimmerman got away with murder. Now, O.J. got us in trouble, and the folks said, okay, I'm going to get you this time, and he got him. Now, Zimmerman is in the same boat right now. He had an incident with his wife. She's gone, threatening the father-in-law. Now the girlfriend is running scared. So, and they finally took those guns away from this joker. because after he was acquitted of the Trayvon Martin murder, he was given his guns back. And even after he was stopped on the Texas highway. Now this third incident, now they decide to take him before he shoots somebody. So what are your thoughts on all this? I know you've heard about it, and
this is crazy. I've been trying to follow it. I know that his ex-wife was on Katie Couric's show. That was on Thursday. And she was asking the wife, she said she was really afraid of him. And she hopes that there will be no more casualties. And it's sad that she had to find out that he was crazy after they, you know, they went through all this together, him and her. You've been with this guy this long period of time, married to him, and you didn't know that he was like this until after the trial. You're with him, and then he starts pulling out guns, acting crazy, threatening the father. Okay, now you're separating. You want a divorce. And now he's threatening the girlfriend with a two. He still owes the attorneys. He has fees out there, which is $2.5 million. They let him out on a $9,000 bond, which is crazy.
But to his defense, not that I want to defend the gentleman, I use that term loosely, but to his defense now, folks are saying that he's been through a lot, and it's very possible, Janice, that he just hasn't dealt with the being the most hated man in America, you know, wanting to be killed by half of the country, and so on and so forth. And some of the medical experts and the psychological, or the folks who are, some of the psychologists and therapists are saying that it's quite possible that he just hasn't dealt with any of these things. And,
so
and he's acting out, in other words. So I guess they're either making excuses for him or they're trying to diagnose him. But either way, they're saying that he's acting out as a result of all the pressure. You know, because people were protesting. I mean, I don't know how I would feel. But people were around the country. I turned the TV on, and there was thousands of people in the street protesting about me. You know, I'm not too sure about how I would feel about that. So this is what folks are saying. I don't buy it. But what do you think?
I don't either. So you're saying that we're going to put this as post-traumatic stress disorder. This is what he's having. This is what you're
basically
saying.
That's what some of the news, the pundits,
no.
And some of the news people
no.
are saying. Right, this post-traumatic stress, and he's just broken out. But this is how he always was.
Right. You know, so now you're going to pull out a gun on your girlfriend after she tells you she's pregnant, I don't believe that. I really don't. You can have that, but I don't believe it.
Oh, this is what they say. I mean, I don't buy it either, but this is what some of the pundits and the people are saying about Mr. Zimmerman, that he's just bugging out because of all the pressure. And he was aggressive early on. Everybody knew it except for the jury, that he was aggressive.
Correct.
And he was a troublemaker. He was aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody knew that but them. And even after all the testimony and all the everything else that happened, and the pictures of a dead boy on the ground, they still voted to acquit. But, you know, I did say then, Janice, and I'll say now, that it wasn't that Zimmerman got away with murder. It was the law in Florida that helped him to get away with murder. It was
correct.
The law.
Mm-hmm.
It was the law.
Stand your ground.
Right. Everybody was hating him, but it was a stand-your-ground law that helped him to get acquitted, even though he was the focus, because but he was dead wrong, and the law let him off. Now, it appears that he may be, he might be in some trouble, because they can't keep, like, ignoring this. Because every time Zimmerman does something, people know it's news. So they can't continue. Even though he's doing things in different states, the thing with his girlfriend did happen in Florida, the same place with his wife, Trayvon Martin, and his father-in-law. So they can't continue to ignore this stuff. They're going to have to do something at some point.
My thing is with the attorneys. Now, each time that he gets into trouble, he gets to have a state attorney granted to him. Now, he's already owing $2.5 million. Where did all the money go that everybody was putting into his PayPal account?
Well, I think that the original, those two lawyers that got him off, I think they got the bulk of that, if not all of it. Because I'm sure that, I mean, they won, even if they could have took that pro bono, they would have still got paid because of all the notoriety. And then, because they're going to get clients now. That was a dream case for those lawyers. Like, OJ was a dream case for Johnny Cochran and Kardashian and Barry Sheck, the lawyers for OJ. They all became famous after that. I mean, Barry Sheck actually runs the Innocence Project, is helping other people get out of jail. He was the only person that didn't capitalize all with the fame, but Robert Kardashian certainly did with and the other lawyers did. But he did. But, he owes that. I think that the lawyers, the original lawyers, the ones that all did the talk show circuit, I think those are the ones that got the bulk of that money.
Wow.
Because even though the law was the law, I mean, they still had to get him off somehow. So, yeah, I think eventually he's going to be in trouble. I mean, he's gonna catch a case, and he's going to get
he's going to have to do that time, yeah.
He's going to get some Trayvon sympathizers, and they're going to burn him at the stake. But I want to talk a little bit about this before we go up there. I want to talk a little bit about this case with the lady in New Mexico, African-American woman, five kids in the car, runs. When the police I don't get it. She runs.
Back to her van, and she, after the son gets back in from attacking the police officer, and then the other police officer goes on the right side, and he busts out the van window, and then the officer that's in the back of the van, he comes out, starts shooting at the tires, but they knew kids were in the van. And I just want to know, like you were saying earlier, why did she pull off like that? It was no need, because she had a car full of kids, a van full of children. And for those officers to do that, to me, that was wrong. Putting the kids more into death zone right there. She could have rolled off the road with all those kids in the van. So I don't understand that. So they would have to really, really, really explain that one, how they're going to shoot at the van, knowing that those children were in there.
Yeah, the police are under investigation. The ones who fired upon the vehicle, they are under investigation the state of New Mexico is the state police officials are investigating the actions of those two officers who shot at a mother and her five kids. But here's the story. Well, Rihanna Farrell is the lady's name. She's 39 years old from Memphis, Tennessee, and a 14-year-old son. Now, those two are facing charges in the incident that happened last month, actually, in October. I don't know what kept it from the air. Now, her and her son were stopped because they were doing 71 miles an hour in a 55 miles an hour zone, which I do all the time, by the way, sometimes more than that. and things got crazy when the teenager physically confronted the officer, as you said.
Mm-hmm.
And the video shows the state police officer firing shots at the van as he drove off.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the question is, did that officer know that there were kids in that car? Because this is this might not be the initial officer because, you know, one stopped her and then another one came along as backup. So the question is, did the backup officer know that there were kids in that car? Now, it's quite possible that he didn't know that there were kids in the car. But the other shoe that's going to drop at some point is the fact that the officer was saying he was shooting at the tires. Now, I don't know where the bullets went. Now, if the bullets were in the body of the car, he must be a pretty bad shot because if you shoot at the tire, the bullet should go in the ground.
Correct.
So shooting at the van, I just don't. I mean, is it really that important? You're going to catch the person anyway. You got 800 cops out there on the road. I mean, the person is going to run out of gas or crash or something at some point. So is it really important, Janice, to shoot at the person?
It's gotten to where it is. That everybody thinks is back in cowboy time now. You got to pull out your guns, and you don't have to do that. Because when the officer went up to her, I watched it, and he was talking to her. He asked her to get out of the van. She got out of the van. Then she got back in the van, and that's when she started the car up. Then her son saw that the officer was attacking his mom to pull her out of the van to tell her to stop, and that's when they started fighting. Then he stopped and went back and got into the van. Then the other officer came over and started breaking the glass on the passenger side. And then the officer that was in the back by the police car he pulls out the gun and just starts shooting at the back of the van with the kids, and the kids are screaming. You can hear them scream.
I just answered my own question because two of the kids got out. When the police officer confronted the mother with physical force, two of the kids got out. So that answers that question, that they knew that there were kids in that van.
Mm-hmm.
They knew.
Yep.
You know, but you have to fault the mother as well, though, because, I mean, you're a mother, and, you know, why would you, I mean, notwithstanding the police and the gunfire, why would you, in a minivan, try to go off on a high-speed chase? Now, we all know that minivans are notorious on the
road.
For
turning over, yes.
Yeah, for turning over, and they have no stability whatsoever, so... Yeah, you got to blame, you have to fault the mother for initiating it in the first place. All she had to do was stop and take her lumps, whatever whatever was supposed to happen. Now, what she was originally charged with, I mean, she has been released, but she faces child abuse, fleeing, and misdemeanor possession of drug paraphernalia. So, for a pair of marijuana packs that were found in the van. Now, she didn't even have any drugs, so that makes it even more bizarre as to why she left. Because she didn't even have any drugs. She got a couple pipes in the car. So maybe she was high.
So what are they charging about child neglect? What are they talking about as far as child neglect?
Well, because she pulled off. I mean, she put the kids in danger when she pulled off. So that is neglect. When she put the kids in danger, she wasn't concerned with their safety at that moment. So that translates into neglect. So that's a problem because she shouldn't have been fleeing with a bunch of kids in a van because I think she could have rolled over in a ditch or something and those kids would have gotten killed. Because I don't imagine that any of the I don't know. I couldn't see inside the van. I mean, I can't. In the van, but more than likely those kids probably weren't even in seatbelts. Especially if they were able to get out of the van, they had to get out of their seatbelts if they were in them at all.
You're correct because we would never know. I still say that he should have never shot at the van. It was unnecessary. It really was. It was just for to watch that. And to watch him do that was really wrong.
It was unnecessary. You're absolutely right. But at the same token, it was unnecessary for her to flee. So we have to look at how it got started in the first place.
Both sides, yeah.
You know, somebody has to knock over the first domino in order for the rest to fall. And the mother, and not even having any drugs in the car, she would have gotten away with that anyway, a couple pipes. Oh, yeah, I got a couple pipes in there. Or, oh, I didn't know they were in here, or whatever the case may have been. Because she wasn't charged with intoxication. She wasn't charged with DUI or DWI. She didn't receive any of those charges. And I know they blew her to see if she had any alcohol in her system. Because that's the first thing you think as a police officer. If somebody's running, they're running because they got something to hide. She really basically didn't have anything to hide. So besides the two marijuana pipes, she got that. Oh, yeah, she got out. She was released anyway. So what was the reason for her to run? So that wasn't even necessary for her to do that. But, again, she started it. And she not, you know, I don't stop the police officers of any wrongdoing because they shouldn't have shot at that man knowing there were kids in there. They should not
did
it under no circumstances.
No,
they shouldn't have shot at that man because the kids were in the back, so any bullet that entered that body of that car shooting
into
the back of the van, no, it wouldn't have ricocheted if it would have went through the body of the van and hit a kid. Because you're shooting into the van, you could have shot him in the head, you could have shot him in the back, anything could have happened.
Right.
I think she had no reason to run. She had no reason to run. So, it's a bizarre situation. Maybe she's watching too many cops or something because the cops, you know, somebody always runs when you're watching cops, even the new cops. Somebody's always running. I don't really understand why people even run from the police because you're going to get, there are some people who do get away. But if you're out there on the highway in the middle of nowhere, in the flatlands in New Mexico, I mean, you're not going to get away. You're not going to get away. You may get away in Newark or New York or L.A. or someplace like that if you move fast enough. But it's just a bizarro situation, and it's crazy. But all right, everybody, we're going to wrap this thing up. There's about 35 seconds left. Janice, thank you. Shout out to my people once again down in WPL 1490.
Thank you, everyone, for listening.
We'll see you on Wednesday, everyone. We'll see you on Wednesday. Wednesday at midday. It's the Ron Tillich Show on WPL 1490 AM. Have your lunch with us Wednesday afternoons at 12 noon. So thank you, everybody else, for joining us. We'll see you back here for another edition of the Ron Tillich Show with Janice Cartel next week. Until everybody can get something that is nice and important, something more important than tonight, and that we may not have all together. Together we can certainly have it all. We're out.